The way the mental health system is supposed to work starts with a phone call. In King County, the crisis hotline gets 8,000 calls a year to this office in downtown Seattle.
Do you know if he has a history of assault?
The screener is part of a team which includes mental health professionals who go investigate. Deb Clark and Rachel Stuth are reviewing a case before heading out.
This is a call that came in from the patient's case manager, and the case manager has been concerned about this individual.
He has been declining, deteriorating to the point that he's really psychotic. He believes that he was sent by God and is Jesus Christ.
This individual is a Vietnam vet who held down a job for at least 20 years, but he's been homeless and in and out of treatment for a long time. He's currently in a cheap motel on Aurora Avenue. The mental health file on him is an inch thick. It says he's been in jail before after smashing a window on a bus.
We're going out, and it's just she and I evaluating the person, and our safety is really paramount.
It's time to head north. It's a one-story motel. Rachel keeps the car out of view from the man's room.
My name's Deb. I'm Rachel. And
he's standing in the doorway. He's friendly, a small, older man, not intimidating. The place is a mess, and he has a woman's scarf tied over his pants. But he's mellow. After a 20-minute conversation, he agrees to visit his caseworker.
We're going to let Jeremy know that you'll probably be coming down, okay?
They decide his symptoms aren't bad enough to meet the legal hurdle for involuntary hospitalization.
Would it be good for him to be on meds? Absolutely. To live to a standard that you and I might live to? Sure, we'd want that for him, but ultimately that's his choice.
He loses his choice if he's a danger to himself, others, or property, or if he can't care for himself. That's the law. Deb and Rachel phone back to the office. They're sent straight to an apartment building just north of downtown Seattle for people transitioning off the streets. They're here to meet a woman in her 60s. The caseworkers have called because she seems to be deteriorating.
This patient is increasingly psychotic, and she's made some statement that she wants to kill someone. And nobody knows who that person is. I mean, we have a name, but we don't know if it's a real person or what have you.
Staff say the woman has lost 50 pounds in the past month or so, and she's lost her front teeth. She reportedly has some medical conditions as well. They tell us she's watching TV in the lounge. They introduce me as a reporter and advise her they can put people in the hospital.
So I just want you to know that, and so you have the right not to speak to us if you don't want to. We're hoping that you do, so we can see what's going on.
Look, there's nothing that I need help with.
Okay.
The woman has spiky gray hair and piercing eyes. She denies she ever threatened anyone. They ask a lot of questions about her health. She doesn't want any of her prescriptions, not even her heart medicine. She feels electricity in her body.
That causes a lot of pain. I take aspirin.
Okay.
All right.
I get rest.
Good.
Did you hear that voice that just came in from up there?
No.
I didn't hear it.
Deb and Rachel keep the interview focused. They glance at each other. Afterwards, they tell me the glance meant something specific, called a non-emergency detainment.
Without her taking medications, and she has deteriorated, I don't see how that's going to be reversed without being in the hospital.
There's no imminent danger, so they can't detain her right now. But she is declining to the point where she's losing the ability to care for herself. The law says they can take paperwork to a judge, and within a day get a court order to hospitalize the woman. Deb Clark and Rachel Stuth say they're looking for whatever it takes to stabilize an individual, but it has to be within the laws that protect our freedoms.
You're here to serve people, people who don't have a voice, who've been marginalized or disenfranchised, and you have to be continually inspired by just wanting to assist people.
And she says every case is different. When it comes to families who want to have a loved one committed, they often don't have the written evidence that courts require. That's changing. A new law taking effect next year allows these investigators to give more weight to family testimony about deteriorating behavior. Keith Seinfeld, KPLU News.